ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
I guess it's me. Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. I didn't realize when I signed up for this, I'd literally be making a drive. But no, it is a gorgeous day in Auburn. It is the first day of the fall semester. It's been a first day, folks. But yeah, making it through that and looking forward to a fun show. I'll be in the studio as soon as I can get completely off campus and get in there. Dan should be, in the studio at any time. And Jason, looking forward to also spending some time with Jason Caldwell from 24/7 and Auburn Undercover in the studio. Is anybody else on, or is it just me?
Bill, I'm here. I'm sitting in for a few minutes. I think Dan is pulling in the parking lot. Jason's not here either. I don't know what's going on around here today, Bill.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you didn't make plans, if you didn't prepare to leave a little early, mm-hmm. Today's one of those days. I mean, traffic is unbelievable. I knew I'd be tight, and as a matter of fact, I thought we were set because I needed to make sure that a couple of things were going well on campus before I headed out. But I mean, it is crazy. We're hearing it is the largest amount of students ever on campus for a fall term, and I would say most of them seem to have vehicles that they're not sure exactly what direction they're headed in. So be careful if you're out and about. But, yeah, what a gorgeous day. All of a sudden, you know, after that storm we had yesterday, the weather broke a little bit, and it's about 10 degrees cooler, and it feels about 20 degrees cooler than it has the last few days.
I'm in the studio now. I'm here now, Bill.
Oh, okay, cool. I was just saying, man, what a beautiful day it is for the first day of the fall term. And I just wanted to say, I'll be in a couple minutes. But don't get used to this. Looking at the weather, it's going to be really nice today and tomorrow. And then starting Friday, it's going to warm back up. So just in time for scrimmage number two, we're looking at heat indices back in the triple digits for Saturday. Dan, just as we get underway, it's a day off from football practice, but you got a chance to be over there yesterday and watched a little of the practice. What, about a half hour viewing window yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, we got in about a couple minutes after 5. They let us watch, you know, a significant portion of practice, and including some drills where it certainly seemed like most, if not all, of the people participating were your first team or your players competing to be in the first team. I think the big headline from yesterday's practice was the, and again, you don't want to draw too many conclusions. And if we get a chance to talk to Jason, we'll talk to him about it as well, Jason Caldwell. But towards the end of our viewing window, it looked like there was a drill, a protection drill, where most of the guys we think of as first team players were working on one side of the field, and you had Peyton Thorne and Robbie Ashford taking turns as the quarterback in that drill. On the other side of the field, you had most of the guys we sort of think of as second teamers or players competing to be on the second team. They were running a drill with Holden Gerner as the quarterback. And that, look, maybe it's just that was the day, you know, that was the chosen rotation for the day. But it's also, I think it's entirely possible that Holden Gerner is your number three in the quarterback battle at the moment, and one and two still to be decided between Peyton Thorne and Robbie Ashford. But it does seem like maybe we've progressed to a different phase of the quarterback competition for Auburn.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be the biggest shock, I think, and that's sort of what we were wondering after Hugh Freeze said on Saturday that he'd have to look at the film. I was thinking that more pertained to his top two and who would be perhaps left out of the top two. And, you know, we'd heard a few folks say, Holden Gerner looked really good on Saturday, but then I had a couple of people also tell me, but it came against some of the guys that don't project as starters. So maybe after looking at the film, it wasn't exactly what it may have looked like to someone who didn't really understand either what the quarterbacks were expected to do or who they were going against. So, I mean, we don't know that for sure, but I think it's reasonable to assume that Peyton Thorne and Robbie Ashford are the guys competing for the number one job at the current time.
Yeah, I would, don't overreact to this information, but also don't underreact to it. I mean, we hadn't seen Holden take very many reps with the first team, you know, in our viewing windows in general, but then to the addition of, you know, especially as we, you know, now we have a scrimmage that they can take a look at. They're working on getting the team ready for a second scrimmage. It sounds like maybe the quarterback battle is progressing to just Robbie versus Peyton to be the starter, and who knows how long it takes before we know more information than that. I mean, maybe we'll see. I don't know off the top of my head. That, I mean, there's a viewing window tomorrow. I don't know the first one. I don't think we have a schedule for anything after Sunday at the moment. So I don't know about viewing windows for next week or anything like that. You know, will we see over the next week, 2 weeks, will we see one quarterback start to take a lead and get more reps than the other in the battle to be Auburn's starter? Potentially. But that also, you know, that could be something they're more careful with. It could be a battle that continues into that first game of the season. I mean, I don't want to speak in absolutes about what this quarterback battle could look like or what the next piece of information we get is. But yeah, it seemed like yesterday, Holden Gerner, if I had to guess, I would think that Holden Gerner is your third team quarterback based on what I saw yesterday. And I feel more secure about it after watching yesterday's practice than really at any other point this, you know, since fall camp opened. You know, I know people suspected that's where Holden would end up, but I think that yesterday was the closest thing to evidence that we've really had throughout fall camp. So yeah, I think that's the thing that people are focusing on. I thought it was interesting yesterday in the viewing window, after some of the injury updates we got from Hugh Freeze on Saturday following the scrimmage and some of the things that the offensive assistant coaches told us on Tuesday, to see Coy Moore out there, to see Camden Brown out there, to see Javarius Johnson out there. And I don't know if they were 100%. There was very little contact, you know, that we saw in the practice that we got to watch. But they had them out there, you know, getting reps and in the uniform. I don't know if anybody, maybe Malcolm was in the non-contact. But the other three receivers were in uniform and participating. So I think that's good news for Auburn that maybe, I mean, well, we heard optimism last week before the scrimmage too. So we don't know for sure, but it sounds like, maybe Camden Brown, Coy Moore, Javarius Johnson, and they said the Javarius injury was seemingly a minor deal with a shot to the mouth that required some. I mean, it's minor when it happens to somebody else.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's minor. Let a lot of folks think about getting stitches in your mouth and then think about possibly being hit.
Yeah.
Again in football, sometime shortly after that. That's how minor that was.
Yeah, I mean, I got my wisdom teeth taken out like a decade and a half ago, and I remember those stitches being unpleasant. So, yeah, I'm sure that, all the best to Javarius. But it sounds like, yeah, Javarius, you know, he's getting closer to a return, and coaches said he'd had a strong camp before the injury. And I think guys like, I don't want to assume anything, Bill, but with Camden and Coy, it does seem like maybe the playing time is more of a concern. How quickly can they get back, and what role could be there for them in the offense if they can't get back to full speed or get participating again very soon. So that's, yeah, it was nice to see Camden and Coy and Var out there, and hopefully they can be full go for the scrimmage and work their way into competing for some of these jobs. And because if I had to get right now, if Auburn played a game tomorrow, I would think that you'd see a lot of the transfer wide receivers. I think you'd see a lot of Jay Fair assuming Javarius Johnson could go, I think you'd see a lot of him. But you know, it's sort of what we were saying after the scrimmage on Saturday, and what we thought after listening to Marcus Davis talk yesterday. It's the guys that are on the outside looking in, and again, how far outside is Camden Brown or Coy Moore? You know, I don't know, but it's on those guys that would seem to be on the outside looking in right now. Like these next couple practices, the scrimmages Auburn has before the start of the season, those are key moments for them to make a push for playing time as Auburn gets closer to the season.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here in the studio. I'm telling you. Once you clear, I felt like, I've never had this feeling, felt like somebody, a player breaking into the clear once I got through the congestion of downtown.
So,
it was
great.
It's like, oh, man, I've got open field. Now it's going to be tackled from behind. But, I mean, and I wasn't, fortunately. But I agree. Now, what, and I didn't get a chance to see, but what I saw a couple of people saying was that Coy was pretty much just doing walkthroughs. Yesterday he was dressed out, but I don't think he was running, whereas at least Camden and Javarius were running drills.
Yes, that's what it seemed like to me as well. I mean, I think maybe even Camden was being, they were being a little bit careful with Camden.
Sure.
Although, it's something
leg or ankle or foot.
I think
or
a hamstring has,
yeah, okay.
has been the hamstring.
Something
has been
in the lower body.
Either
yeah.
I think Camden told us it was his hamstring in camp when we talked to him. Last week, but that's a position where there's a lot of interest in who Auburn's going to have out there, what kind of season they're going to have. Hugh Freeze has had successful passing offenses in the past. Auburn has brought in some transfer receivers that look like they can make an impact. It's a question of who's going to be out there, and especially among the holdovers, the guys that were there from last year's team. You know, can they make a move and get into that rotation?
Now, okay. While I was walking in, Jason. Texted me and said, I completely forgot to tell you that I'm at a high school game in Atlanta. But he said he can be on with us in the second hour.
Ooh.
So he's going to call in when he gets a chance. So the game, golly, are they playing a game in the afternoon in Atlanta? But he says he's at high school.
He's at a high school football game now?
That's what it said. What he didn't say right now. Okay. He said, I'm in Atlanta for a high school game. Totally forgot to tell you. Maybe he's got something going on right now, and then he might be doing some interviews or something right now, and then in the second hour it'll be free before the game. Whatever. Anyway, he will be able to join us in the second hour. So we will have Jason on with us this afternoon, but it's going to be a little later than usual.
The Georgia high school football season officially kicks off with the Corky Kell and Dave Hunter Classicon on August 16th.
That's today.
Johns Creek versus North Atlanta, Parkview versus
Okay,
Kell.
So they're playing now, huh?
Yeah. Wow. It's the 32nd anniversary of this and there's a game. I'm trying to find a start time for these games. I know they are today. But it would appear and maybe I'm thinking that's where maybe Jason is.
Well, I don't doubt that. I mean, if there's high school football going on, it's not unlikely that Jason Caldwell will be there. So anyway, we'll check in with Jason a little later. Hey, there is, I didn't get a chance till around 3:00.
Jalen Crawford is playing in that game.
Okay.
Auburn commit, right?
And there are probably some other players that Jason will tell us about as well. So. But anyway, a little bit of news about the Auburn roster today, as Auburn down to one remaining signee from the 2021 football class, as Garner Langlow has left the Auburn football team.
It's like an Agatha Christie novel, Bill. I mean, we're down to just...
And then there was one.
And then there was the one. And then there was just Jarquez Hunter.
That's
the
right.
The only
signee.
The only third-year player on the team who signed with Auburn out of high school.
Unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
And at other schools, Bill, this is where the fruits of your labor, right? This is where
these are the guys that you would hope you're counting on, the guys that are in there. You know, if they're good enough, this would be their last year of playing college football before they hopefully move on to the NFL.
Your draft eligible true juniors and third year sophomores. Yeah, and the thought that Auburn has a class with, I mean, they've found some guys in the portal, but out of high school, Jarquez Hunter, the only remaining member of the 2021 signing class for Auburn that's still on the roster. I mean, it's incredible.
That it's just mind-blowing. Even in these days of the transfer portal, that is just amazing. All right, we'll get to our first break here this afternoon. Love for you to join in. Hour number one of the drive brought to you as usual by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And, of course, they're the sponsor of our hotline, where we welcome your calls, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast available. However you listen to podcasts, go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center.
We'll get to our first break. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Bending, stretching, walking. The simple move.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the control. So it's the regular crew for most days. Wednesdays, usually we have Jason Caldwell in here with us, but he's over in Atlanta.
Watching high school football.
And maybe it's going to be at halftime, but he said he will check in with us when he gets a chance. So we'll talk to him in a little while. Meanwhile, let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Bill gets us started. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. When I lived in Atlanta, before I came down here, they used to play the Corky Carroll Classic at the Georgia Dome. So I wonder if they're playing it at Mercedes-Benz.
I would think so, Dan. Is that where they're playing?
Let me see what I can get
But, yeah, I remember when they used to play those early games. I just didn't remember, or I had not seen anything about these now. But I remember those games being played at the Dome.
I believe the game today is being played at Kell High School's stadium.
Wow.
That's got a chance to have been a lot warmer than it would have been if it had been in, you know, indoors.
Yeah, today.
But fortunately, it's not as hot today.
They've got games going on every day through Saturday, and the games today are at Kell. The games tomorrow are at another high school. The games Friday are at another high school, and then the games there are games at Rome's stadium. I guess that would be Rome High School is going to host, and then Mercedes-Benz has four games scheduled on Saturday.
If you be off at hot, they're going to high school football game.
Yeah, no kidding. In the afternoon in August.
Yeah, so I saw where Garner Langlois left. I was surprised that he would go through all the fall, and then I guess he was not high enough on the depth chart, but he can't play anywhere now this year, can he?
Not this year. Well, I don't know.
Well, a couple things. What we don't know if he's left school.
Right.
We just know that he's left the team. Okay. He could go
portal. He could go down a level and play
right now
this year.
Or he could reevaluate after the season is over, and if he wants to continue his football career. Or keep in mind too, we haven't heard
something he could do.
Well, we don't know anything about the circumstances of Garner Langlois' decision to leave. And I mean, keep in mind, first year head coaches in college football do have the option of removing players from the team and taking their and keeping.
Yeah, there's no reason to do that here when you have scholarships. So
he didn't need his 85 now.
And so you can't replace that one. Right this minute anyway. I would think, the other option he could have, I mean, he could go down a level. He could go junior college. He's a third-year guy that has only played 1 year. He could go to junior college, play this fall, and then transfer somewhere if he wanted to play this fall.
Because he's used
his redshirt year. That's the thing to remember. He's used the redshirt year. So
I'm under the impression Garner Langlois will be enrolled at Auburn this fall.
I would think so.
And then the question is, classes started today.
Yeah,
what does he want to do? Moving forward, we don't know, but it sounds like he's around.
And the thing to remember, Bill, is Auburn's added a couple of guys since the spring that are competing where he's been playing in Jaden Muskrat and Dylan Senda. Those are two guys that have been competing with him there at that tackle spot. So, yeah, I think maybe just a combination of, you know, seeing the depth chart and feeling that. I think that's what's happening. But, yeah, we don't know if he's going to be anywhere but Auburn this fall.
Yeah, well, I wish him well. I wish it worked out for him, but it is such as it is. All right, guys, that's all I got. Enjoy the show.
Appreciate it, Bill. 334-321-1390. And Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dan. Got a broadcasting question for you guys. I saw that...
Well, you'll ask just anybody, yeah, won't you?
Well, two guys with a lot of experience, you two guys. The ESPN is carrying the Yankees-Red Sox game Sunday night. And that's just what I want to listen to on Sunday night, is the next to last place team and the last place team can play. Is that because of the history of the rivalry?
Partly, it's because it's just because those fan bases will watch even when their teams stink.
Some games are, I mean, they make some commitments before the season starts, but no, I think a lot of that might just be based around the names of the teams.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Was it predetermined a lot?
Yes,
there are some that are predetermined. I mean, I couldn't tell you matchup to matchup whether this was decided on before the season starts or early. But yeah, a lot of them are decided on. I think both with the radio broadcast and with the Sunday night baseball game, I think a lot of those matchups are picked before the season starts.
Well, let's be honest, the history is just enormous.
Oh yeah,
because it is. I think you need some notice. Most teams are not playing on Sunday night,
right?
And Major League Baseball
travel has a lot to do with that. Yeah, too. You know, travel plans.
It's not like they decide on a week's notice or a month's notice to move a game to Sunday night. I think there's quite a bit of planning.
Yeah, a lot of times those travel plans are made, you know, either in advance of the season or very early, months ahead of time. So for the Sunday night games, a lot of those are, if they're not in pen, man, they're in dark pencil.
Well, the ESPN is in Connecticut, right, which is kind of geographically for Boston and New York City.
Mm-hmm. That is right.
So another question. Do you guys, in your opinion, do you think the Oakland A's end up in Las Vegas?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it doesn't seem like a new stadium in Oakland.
No,
is coming anytime soon. And
are they still going to be called the A's?
Well, I don't know. They've been the A's from Philadelphia to Kansas City to Oakland, so why not?
Okay, well,
the Raiders didn't change their name.
I mean, it'd make more sense for the A's. Point. They've been as traveling a team as there has been in Major League Baseball. So I think they ought to.
Well, that's that franchise has got a lot of history too. Let's be honest. Take care, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it.
It's funny. They've had some great – you look at the history of the A's, the Athletics. They've had some great teams. They have had some terrible teams at all three stops. I mean, the A's have been world champs. The Oakland A's have been world champs. They've been as bad as you're going to find in Major League Baseball. The Kansas City – now, I don't know that Kansas City was ever really good. Kansas City Athletics were bad. I just remember them as bad the whole time. Before they moved to Oakland and Charlie Finley took over.
Terry might have been mistaken, by the way, because I think the Sunday night game this week on ESPN, we're carrying a Yankees-Red Sox game here on ESPN Radio this weekend, but I think the Sunday night game this week is the one at the Little League World Series, which is that's not the Yankees-Red Sox, but that's Phillies Nationals.
But that would have also been set a long time.
I looked it up, and games through August 20th, so the first 23 Sundays of the season, they announce those before the season starts.
Right.
And starting at the end of August, ESPN can start to flex games. Remaining selections will be made up to 2 weeks before the game day.
Yeah, you still got – so teams would make their travel plans through, like, the end of August, and then for the rest of the year, you know – have 2 weeks notice for Sundays.
And from now and through the rest of the season, starting after the game on Sunday, ESPN can start to pick the games that matter the most in the postseason or for division races or if someone is chasing history.
Oh, yeah,
for some sort of mark, you know, that you know, we don't have a lot of that this season.
No, but you'd have an idea if your team's no good. You'd have an idea that you can stick with the plans that you had, usually, unless you're playing a team that is going for some kind of, you know, either – making an unbelievable push of some type.
But listen to listen to Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio.
334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Drive.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we'd love for you to join in anything on your mind sports-wise. As I mentioned earlier, an off day for Auburn football on day one of classes. It was one of those days. I mean, man, you see so many kids wandering around. You know that a lot of them don't know where they're going or aren't sure where they're going. But, yeah, that's the way it is at the start of the semester. More students than ever on campus, and you can tell it. Dan, you were talking. I mean, you had trouble. You left. You left about 45 minutes before I did.
No, I stopped at home, and then I, in taking my usual route, ran into. I was like, oh, okay, I'll wait this little piece of traffic out, and yeah. it continues, and clearly something was obstructing. Like, cause I'm trying to make a turn, waiting to be let in, and it went an obscenely long amount of time before I could get in there. Just, I mean, people are adjusting to how many folks are out there on the roads. And Bill, we've complained about it before. The crosswalk there at West Mag still holding up traffic.
I don't even attempt to go in that direction once fall and spring classes are going.
Yeah, West Mag.
I mean, you cannot. You can't.
Unusable with the students around.
Again, mayor or whoever. Let's build a bridge.
Ron Anders, right?
Yes.
Mayor, whoever.
No, I said or whoever.
Oh, okay.
I know who the mayor is.
You've met Ron Anders.
I know. Absolutely. I've known him for a long, long time. Known him, since I was calling his football.
I was going to say.
Yeah, really. I mean, but no. Let's build that crosswalk. Let's build.
I think it's just a
build
stoplight.
The bridge. I want the skywalk.
I don't think you're going to get students. Here's the problem with that. I don't think you're going to get students to climb up the stairs, go the side. Like, I think
you can put an escalator there. I mean, do it like Vegas.
I just think you need a stop. I think you need a stoplight. A full blown, like, kids, when it's red, that's when pedestrians
maybe,
can cross.
Maybe.
And when it's green, that's when cars are going to go and pedestrians
can
cross. Like, I just think you need.
When I was heading over yesterday, it was not even close to. I mean, it was like crossing wherever. I mean, the students that haven't been here for a while just crossing wherever and not realizing that they need to even try to hit the button.
I've dodged pedestrians this week as they cross in front of a green light too. Like, I know that's been going on where it's like, just because there is a crosswalk painted on the ground.
That's what happened this morning. Unfortunately, it was 7 o'clock in the morning and I'm coming and the light is green and I noticed there's somebody out in the middle of the street just walking, headphones on and a backpack, I guess headed toward class, but just walking through the red light with traffic coming in both directions. And I thought, you're lucky.
I'm thinking the skywalk idea is good, but I think you're gonna have people ignoring it. You're gonna have people trying to make that walk anyway. I think you need a stop light to stop traffic. Because the problem is if with the pedestrian, with the way it's set up now, there doesn't need to be any sort of
something.
You push the light and traffic stops, right? And the pedestrians can stop traffic whenever they want.
And the flashing light never stops for the traffic.
Right. So I think a red light, green light sort of is the only way. Again, we'll see. But I really do. Something's got to be done there at West Mag because it is brutal.
320.
The students are back in town.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It's a sports show, right?
But students have a lot to do with it.
Information for life is what it is. And that's where. I don't know, Bill. You're going to talk to Hugh Freeze tomorrow. Like, you're going to get to ask. Some
questions. Maybe some other folks will ask tomorrow.
I'll be glad to
continue like we did the other day and just have a couple of us. You're going to be there too, aren't you?
I'm going to try to make it for Hugh Freeze early. I'm going
to
be here.
So Drew, be ready to start the show by yourself tomorrow because if we're both over on campus at 3.
Yeah. That's part of the reason I'm wondering.
Drew's taping till 3:15. Jacob may be continuing on tomorrow.
Yeah, no Ferguson tomorrow because we're going to
have. He's going to be over there too.
He's going to be over there and he's going to be at the viewing window, which is during the show. And so we probably,
We'll all just be over there.
We'll just run a rerun. We'll just run today's show tomorrow and see if folks notice.
Are we going to get Justin Friday?
think we're going to try Justin on Friday. He's got some stuff going on this week, but he'll get us a little bit of time.
Hey, I'm here.
I know. Yeah, but your name's on the show.
Yeah, I guess. I'll put his name on the show. I'll put it on the Thursday. It's the Justin Ferguson Thursday.
It's Ferg's Day here on the drive. No. So Hugh Freeze talking with the media before the show tomorrow.
Yeah, viewing window at 3:50. So if I can get out of the office, I'll do that and hang around for a little bit.
We haven't really mentioned the Michael Oher thing. I suspect that's something that could come up tomorrow
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets asked about that.
I don't know what kind of details or what kind of answer he can give. Except, you know, I would think maybe his inability to get into details about Jarquez Hunter would probably give you a clue on I don't know how eager or the Hugh Freeze will be to get into details about.
I would think not.
Whatever's going on with the Tuies?
Yes.
Yeah, with the Tuies and the
Sean was an outstanding point guard at Ole Miss.
You remember as a player?
Absolutely.
How about that? Okay.
He was one of those players that if he's on your team, you really like him. If he wasn't, sure, you didn't like him at all. Because he was sort of that undersized, sort of tough in your face kind of point guard.
He's gritty.
He was one of those kind of guys that was sort of like a pest. He was a gnat. He was one of those. He was a really good ball handler and distributor of the ball. Wasn't a prolific scorer or anything by any means, but no, he was a good point guard. Yes, has done very, very well. He and his family have done very, very well. And it's not because of the blind side. I mean, he had, I believe,
They're wealthy.
That's what I'm saying. It didn't come from the blind side.
They've.
If you saw the movie, now there are a lot of people that are saying, you know, everything in the movie is not exactly the way it was, and it usually isn't. But the movie did portray them as a pretty well off family. When they encountered Michael Oher,
I was
going to
say,
and that indeed is the case.
Yeah, crucially, like they were already. If you're familiar with the film, they were already well to do. I don't know if I mean this isn't terribly germane to what's going on. I don't want to make light of what seems to be kind of a serious thing between Michael Oher and the Tuies. I always thought it was sort of adorable how the movie went out of its way to like make it seem like Michael Oher didn't even know what football was until Sandra Bullock like taught him the sport. It's like I think in real life Michael Oher had already played.
That's cool for
football.
A movie, yeah, though.
It's a much better story,
right?
It's a much better
for
story
for her to go out and tell the coach, you know, get out of the way while she goes out and explains.
For her to go out and tell Hugh Freeze, you
know, protect our family or whatever. This is your family now.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it a better story than if he was already a celebrated football player. But I would think maybe that comes up. People are going to want to know about quarterback and where things are. Hugh Freeze has not talked about it since the practice on Saturday. He said he was going to go look at some things. Maybe there was a development yesterday or this week. There's been a development as far as narrowing down the battle. So I think Hugh Freeze will be asked to give some, shine some light, give some insight on what's going on there with his quarterback battle and really everywhere else, right? Just sort of an update from where we were earlier in the offseason.
Yeah. So
what are you looking to hear from you? What pressing questions would you have?
I'd like a little more clarification after he was not happy with the receivers. I'd like him to talk a little more about the receivers. I've got a pretty good feel for what's going on at most spots. Maybe not necessarily who are the first ones out there at linebacker, but I think we've got an idea who the top four linebackers are. That is, once we get past some of the injury concerns, would like to have an idea if they know when Austin Keys is going to be back, because we understood he was favoring his shoulder after a play in the scrimmage Saturday, and I don't believe he was going through workouts yesterday. Wasn't he in an orange?
One of the linebackers, and I think it was Austin Keys. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's one of the top four, if not one of the starters. He's for sure one of the top four. So I mean that's something Auburn, as we said yesterday, they've been fortunate. They've been avoiding injuries that appear to be long term. Austin's back soon.
The way linebacker appeared the last time we were really taking like a close look at it, you would think Austin Keys, Cam Riley / Eugene Asante. I mean, both of them.
I think, yeah.
Asante maybe more than Cam.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, going into the scrimmage, it seemed like Austin Keys and Eugene Asante were your starters.
Right, and then.
And then Larry Nixon, Cam Riley.
Who was it? Was it Aldridge last week that said, you know, I would expect Cam Riley to play as much as anybody at linebacker, so I think that would be in addition to.
Yeah, he's going to play both linebackers and maybe even line up a little outside.
Maybe line up some edge, too. I mean, there were questions about Riley's status, especially with regards to Keys and Asante.
Nixon or Asante? Keys and Asante? But, I mean, those are your top four, I think, right now, with Wesley Steiner being banged up. Robert Woodyard had a really good spring, still sort of learning as a young linebacker. Who's the other linebacker?
Does that narrow it down? I mean, is there someone?
That's pretty much. I mean, those are your top five or six. Jake Levant and then I believe Powell Gordon has been getting work at edge as much as linebacker. So that's pretty much it. That's all the linebackers that Auburn has.
Yeah. So I mean, right now, if Keys is healthy, you know, he's in whatever the top tier looks like. And then, Asante, Cam Riley, Larry Nixon. Nixon's come on over the last week or so. I mean, that's another guy. Nixon and Sings would be two defensive players that, you know, was sort of – it was, for a while was touch and go as to whether or not they'd be able to do enough this offseason to break in. What was it? Was Ron Roberts talking about the 25 –
yes.
25 saying, players.
You know, saying 25, 26 is what he would like, and he's around 16 now.
And it might, and that was, he was around 16 when we talked to him, right? So that was a week and a half ago maybe, and he's, maybe that number has grown. But, Larry Nixon and Steven Sings were guys where when Ron Roberts gave that 15, 16 number, I don't know if they were in it, but now it certainly looks like they are, both Sings and Nixon are guys that would play a big role if Auburn had a game to play in the next couple of days.
Yeah, he is a both those guys. We heard Larry Nixon, as a matter of fact, especially, and Hugh Freeze pointed it out, said that once the defense started playing well and the offense stopped running pace, that Larry Nixon was a big factor. He noticed Larry Nixon making a lot of plays. So I think he's definitely in your top group there at linebacker. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Again, Jason Caldwell will be joining us when he gets a chance in a break in high school football going on over in Hotlanta. So he'll be checking in with us at some point. But in the meantime, we'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 here on the Wednesday Drive.
You can help others in your community. Opelika Share is a way for neighbors.
1390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment of hour number one here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Jason Caldwell, usually with us in the studio, is in Atlanta. Fortunately, it's not as hot, Atlanta, as it's been, but it's pretty warm for football today, Jason.
It's a little warm. It is. I'm over somewhere in Marietta at this moment. Just finished eating something, and then heading to DeKalb High School. There's a game being played already, so they kicked off the season at about 3:30.
Yeah. Okay. I was wondering if you were at that one, and I was thinking, man. Yeah, I know you love high school football, but this is crazy.
I think I could do without the doubleheader today, so I'm good. So we're going to watch Parkview and Kell tonight. Obviously, Jalen Crawford, Auburn commitment on that Parkview team, we'll get a chance to see them tonight. And they got five or six other guys on this team, a couple other 24s, including Mike Matthews, a five-star wide receiver, and then 25 offensive linemen, 26 safety. So quite a few guys tonight. So it should be a lot of fun.
Jason, didn't know if you'd need to run. We've only got about 3 minutes or so this segment. Have you got to run here in a couple of minutes?
I can stay on for the first part of the next hour.
Well, good, because I wanted to get into your thoughts of what we heard about the scrimmage, what you saw there at the media outlet. Dan, I wanted you to go ahead and mention, and we'll I don't know if Jason had seen this. Dan just relaying a story little more detail about the breakup of the Pac-12.
Yeah, the LA Times has some sourced info about what the conference was looking at and different. I mean, nothing. I think a lot of it's more stuff that was already speculated on versus things. But I would encourage folks to check out Brad. I think it was Brady McCulloch was the LA Times writer who has a story about some of the more surprising stuff that you may. I was telling Bill some of the details during the commercial break about this story. It was. I guess there was an offer from ESPN, a year and a half ago. One of the reasons it was turned down by the conference was because someone had taken advice from the way Brett McMurphy explains it, a professor on one of the campuses sort of provided his president with an estimation of Pac-12 media rights. That number was less than what ESPN was offering.
Yeah, he estimated that they were valued at $50 million. ESPN offered. With USC and UCLA leaving, offered the rest of the Pac-12 $30 million per school, and the Pac-12 turned it down.
Well, that's what you get right there, overestimation. And, yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of like NIL, the NIL valuation and all these things. Like, well, your NIL value is only what somebody will pay you.
Yeah.
Whatever somebody says your number is doesn't really matter. All that matters is what somebody going what number you're going to get to.
Well,
how much money they do, and that's the same thing here. No matter what somebody tells you, you're only as good as what somebody offers you.
And there was the belief, Jason. There was the belief that media rights would just go up and up and up because that's what we've been seeing in sports negotiations. Was that the next deal is going to be bigger than the one you just signed? What's changing that? Is the trend of fewer and fewer people subscribing to cable every month. Right. I mean, we're seeing numbers now where, DirecTV laid off, 10-20% of its workforce in the last month. I mean, we're seeing we're seeing signs that industry that had experienced nonstop growth seemingly for decades is now, worried about the future. And, I still keep thinking there could be a time not that long in the future where ESPN struggles, what we're seeing with Major League Baseball and these regional sports networks that realize now they can't pay the rights deal they signed a couple of years ago. I wonder if that's something that, ESPN might have to do drastic stuff to keep its to keep its media obligations going forward.
Yeah, well, greed does that. When you start paying people $30 and $40 million, you have to start charging folks more, and people say sooner or later, I'm tired of it. And this is what happens when that happens.
You're right, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, the 247 Network, with us, and he'll be with us for the first segment of hour number two. We'll get his thoughts on Auburn football fall practice when we come back for hour number two of the Wednesday Drive.
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls here in the studio, and our regular Wednesday co-host, normally with us in hour number one, is over in Atlanta. That's Jason Caldwell. He is in Atlanta getting ready to watch some high school football this hot August night. But he's got a few minutes, and we welcome him back. He joined us right there at the end of hour number one. Jason, so again, what game are you headed to watch? Have we got Jason?
Now, you got me now?
There we go.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, going to watch Parkview and Kale, which is part of the Corky Kale Classic. So there are two games today, I think two more tomorrow, three or four on Friday, and then a couple more on Saturday. I think this weekend's games are at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, we looked that up. Yeah, they are.
So it's, in Alabama they do kind of the Champions Challenge and do a couple of games. In Georgia they do about 8 or 10 games this first week. So yes, that's why it's a Wednesday night kickoff football game here in Marietta.
Well, that's good. I mean, the excitement is there. I was going to say it feels like football because it's been so dang hot, but But yeah,
it's
Auburn.
Better. It's
yeah.
absolutely better. That's for sure.
Oh, it is much better today. Much better. But hey, by the weekend, it's supposed to be back in the triple digits. So just in time for the second scrimmage. Jason, what did you hear? What were your feelings about what Coach Free said and what you've heard about the scrimmage on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the pretty obvious one was that the running game, offensive line, running backs, those guys kind of picked up where they left off in the spring. We'd heard about how good they were running the football at the end of spring, and they continue to do that. I think this is a team and a group that's going to be able to run the football, especially when you talk about adding in, you know, a healthy Jeremiah Wright, who did not, you know, go through the contact stuff in the spring, and you add in Jaden Muskrat, and you add, you know, some of these freshmen, a different-looking Isaiah and Tutal Miller to this group, and I think it's an offensive line group that has some really strong potential. You know, Jaden Muskrat, Dylan Senda coming in, and in this running back room has some different kind of guys, but got some really explosive guys. And so I think running game is one of the things you go, okay, that's what you feel good about. And after that, it's, you know, I think it's from there on, it's first scrimmage. You rotate a bunch of guys at quarterback, rotating wide receivers. Got a bunch of guys in that haven't worked together very much, and so there's going to be some mistakes and some issues there. So I think that was probably the other thing on offense, and then defensively, you know, some dinged up guys at linebacker a little bit, and then you know, probably trying to find who their guys are going to be on that defensive line. So you rotate a little bit more, and you know, I think gave up some rushing yards, but I think overall the offensive line, running backs, and running game was probably the strength of coming out of scrimmage number one. We'll see what they focus on in number two. I wouldn't be surprised if they throw a little bit more and then bring a little bit more on defense to challenge this offense, you know, a little bit more.
What do you think the roles are, at least going into the season, for Jarquez Damari and Brian Batie? Because, I mean, I've seen people talking about, you know, when was the last time Auburn felt this good about their top three or top four running backs, depending on where things shake out. Jeremiah Cobb has been a discussion point as well. Like, where do you think, or how do you think this plays out on the field with so much talent at that position?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to know because, you know, we haven't seen maybe a Hugh Freeze-type offense made this way. It almost feels a little bit like Ole Miss last year, in my opinion, where you think about the strength of the team, maybe the running game, and mm-hmm. it morphed from Lane Kiffin a little bit, so they ran the ball more than probably anybody expected. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see that would happen this year for this team, even though you've added some pieces at wide receiver and still need to throw the football. I think you may be a little bit more run heavy at times, and so you might get a little bit more touches. I think Brian Batie is going to get his touches. I think some of those are going to be a traditional running back. I think he'll get some touches out of the backfield as a return man. I think he's going to do some of those things. I think, you know, Damari Austin is going to get touches. He has been too good. He's been too much of a guy that they're going, he's done everything they asked him to. And so I think he's going to get his touches. And then, I mean, obviously Jarquez is the guy that's there. We know Jarquez Hunter's back at practice. We don't know what his, you know, if there's any, you know, any suspensions, anything. We don't know those things yet. So mm-hmm. you could get into game one and you may not have Jarquez Hunter. And so, I think with all those guys involved, I could see Jarquez being a 15 to 17, you know, Damari Austin maybe being 10 to 12, and then Brian Batie getting 10, 8 to 10 touches in some form or fashion. I could see it kind of balancing out like that.
And, you know, that's almost the optimal thing to do if you have the talent to do that. I mean, back in the day, running backs would shy away from a team that wasn't going to feature them. Now running backs want to they want to save, you know, save something for the next level.
Yeah, it's the opposite now. You don't want a guy that carries. I mean, the Trey Mason, Derrick Henry 40-plus carry games are a thing of the past. That's not how it's made now. And for so long, that was, you know, kind of it was kind of used against Auburn. You know, you look in Georgia and Alabama especially started using multiple running backs, getting multiple touches in games, and those guys had fresh legs. And they were getting drafted early. It wasn't taken. You don't have to be an 1,800-yard rusher. They'll find you. Just like, you know, NFL scouts, they see you. They'll find you. And a matter of fact, they like it a whole lot more if you're, you know, 800 yards and 100 less carries than you would have had. You know, that's probably better for them. So, yeah, I think sharing the load and especially using those guys out of the backfield. And because of that, I mean, Jeremiah Cobb's a guy that could get a few of those touches too because he's such a good receiver.
Speaking of receivers, I mean, that's another position. I mean, we talked about the you know, the news coming out of yesterday's viewing window. You know, some people drawing the conclusion that Holden is a step back of the other two quarterbacks, or has been, you know, that they've sort of moved on to a different. You know, I get wanting some patience there. We can talk about receivers in a second, but with these quarterbacks, like, do you read anything into what we saw yesterday? Do you think that we could be nearing a point where this is a two quarterback battle?
Yeah, I do. I think sooner or later you have to go, okay, we got to get two guys, and there's never just a one day scenario. And from everybody we talked to Saturday, there probably wasn't a whole lot of separation on Saturday, but they may have been the first 8 days or 7 days or whatever it was. And so that's what you don't really know. I would expect that we're getting close to narrowing this thing down to two, and I'd still be really surprised if it's not Peyton Thorne and Robbie Ashford. I still think that experience is going to be vital for them. And so that's what you do that, and you got to get down to two sooner or later. And, there was a 10, we talked to Hugh Freeze and SEC Media Day, so like kind of that 10-day window maybe. We're kind of there right now.
Yeah.
You got to get it to two to give those guys all those reps with the first team to start building some camaraderie with the receivers, and then you get a better picture of who you want one to be. And I think that's where you're getting close to that right now.
Dan, talking about the receivers, one of the things that Hugh Freeze was critical of Saturday, talked about how great a week of practice they'd had leading up to the scrimmage. He wasn't pleased with that. And then he also mentioned, three or four of them weren't even able to be out there. A couple of them back at practice yesterday. I still have no idea which pairings we're going to see. I think you'll see quite a few different ones, but it does appear that right now you've got about a half a dozen guys who, because of their ability to be out there and their being more consistent, appear to sort of be stepping to the front.
Yeah, I think right now you can maybe boldly pencil Shane Hooks into in a really early rotation at wide receiver. I think you can, like, that one's pretty clear so far. I think Jay Fair is one of those guys that has played himself into that, even though I don't think he had his best day on Saturday. I think he's a guy that has done that throughout camp and is going to earn some of those. And then I would think Javarius Johnson, the guy that missed a couple of days because of a kind of a chin mouth issue, was back yesterday. We saw him. I think Var Johnson is going to be involved. And then where does the rest of the group come from that rotation? We've seen Jair Shorter a bunch, Dick Martner. I think we'll see both of those guys.
Caleb Burton.
Can Camden Brown get going, and can he get healthy enough to make a push right now? I think the same thing with Coy Moore. I think that's the two guys now. Can they get healthy enough to make up enough of a push now between now and when you start preparing for the season and start game planning? Saturday's going to be really important to see if they can get on the field, because if not, then there's no other scrimmage options for them to get a look by this coaching staff, because you got to start to tone it back a little bit now to get ready for a year. So those guys there, I mean, Amari Kelly, I mean, you're right. There's a ton of names involved at wide receiver. And, Marcus Davis, look, they may play eight or nine of those guys, especially early in the season, to see if they can, maybe see something different out of somebody.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Amari Kelly, because that feels like, when we were discussing, well, you have the players that feel like they're part of the mix right now and the injured players and also Amari Kelly. And I was sort of wondering, is that us just not asking about him? Is that an indication that maybe it's going to take another year with Amari to sort of figure things out, or is he still in the thick of this competition to be one of the receivers on the field this fall?
I think everybody's there right now. Amari, when he got some opportunities, made some pretty big catches last year for them. He just didn't get many chances, and so I think it was good.
Yeah, we'll see up there.
Yeah, I think it was good, and him just to kind of get some experience, but obviously a new offense now. I don't know that there's anybody that you can write off unless those guys just aren't able to play. I think it's that wide open.
Jason Caldwell with us as he's getting ready. When does the ball game get started, Jason?
It's 8 o'clock Eastern, so 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Time. So
so we got to get over there, try to probably watch the end of this other game, then get some warm-up photos and those kind of things to maybe get a chance to see some of these guys without helmets. And so this is a good, hopefully a good photo night. It's pretty sunny right now, but I'll take it.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's like we said, it's a whole lot better than it's been. We've had opportunities to visit with quite a few players, all the assistant coaches here over the last few days. I don't think there's any question. Everybody feels pretty upbeat. I think it feels like thus far it's been a pretty good camp. I know they're looking for answers at a few spots. I was really Jake Thornton is a guy that's really upbeat. You were talking about the running game a while ago. I think he really likes his offensive line. I don't know. Were you there when he was talking about Damari?
I was not. I saw it and then saw some on video about him.
He said Damari's the most explosive back he's ever been around.
Yeah. You know, we saw it. We saw glimpses of it in the spring, and I've been talking Damari up all summer. We saw him about every camp they had. He was out there, and then we had a chance to watch a workout, and it was mostly wide receivers and quarterbacks, but Damari Austin was right in the middle of it. And we kept hearing guys talking about how much work he had put in. And you see his attitude. I mean, he's a guy that's really determined to try to get out and make something. And right now, I think, because of that, you add talent with want to, then you get something that's pretty fun. And I think that's right now where Damari Austin is.
Jason, we appreciate you spending a little time with us. Hopefully the weather continues to hold up. Looks like it's going to be a nice one. Not too bad a night for an opening night of football. Let everybody know all the things that you guys have going on. I mean, so much information that folks can find.
Yeah, you can check us out at auburnundercover.com as part of the 24/7 network. And can also follow me on Twitter at ITATJ.
All right, Jason, have a good trip back.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Jason Caldwell joining us. Yeah, usually here in the studio, but joining us on the phone from Atlanta today. Like I said, man, if there's high school football going on, it's not unlikely that Jason Caldwell won't be around.
When are we going to have Auburn high school football on week 74-3? Is that
next Friday?
That's a week from Friday.
It is a week from Friday, wow. And Scott Bagwell is going to start joining us on Fridays. I believe is the plan.
Okay.
So he will be giving us a little previews game day. So looking forward to that. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. Again, the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And hour number two of the drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. It's all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Right back after this break here on the Wednesday Drive.
Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 5:20 here on this Wednesday afternoon with Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell joining us even when he's on the road. Always good to talk to JC. So, and he should be back with us, I guess, unless there's another ball game next Wednesday. Now, he'll probably be with us next Wednesday here in the studio. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. And Yellowhammer is up first. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, howdy. So here's the question, and doesn't have a really good answer, but it's an impression. By now, you've seen enough of the Auburn defense to answer two questions that I have. As you know, if you got a good defense, you can hang with anybody. You keep them down low, you got a chance to beat anybody. And so I was wondering, A, do we have something like that? And then as far as the whole conference goes, upper third, middle third, high, middle, lower, upper, higher than that, and then who is the best one or two defenses in the league, and who's at the bottom? I know Vanderbilt probably, but who else?
Alabama and Georgia, probably LSU at the top of the league. Alabama,
so, you know, to be fair,
Alabama has a lot of talent.
I feel like
back
there were. I feel like he got like seven questions in there.
Yeah,
in all the different
things. Well, I was just going to start off with who are the best in the SEC. Alabama's probably as talented as anybody. LSU's got a lot of talent coming back.
I mean, I think Auburn thought this time last year that the defense would be, you know, one of the strengths of the team with
yep.
the secondary that you had with the defense. I mean, to bring back Derek Hall and Ekwu Liotta on the edge, Colby Wooden, Marcus Harris, you know, on the defensive line. Like, I think this was a group that felt pretty good. Didn't go that way. Depth, I think, was an issue.
That,
even in,
Auburn struggled stopping the run last year.
Yeah. We pointed out the defensive numbers. I mean, so you know where that puts you. I mean, if you remember the all conference team that was selected earlier this year, every player on the first team all conference defense was from either Alabama, Georgia, or LSU.
Right.
That
should tell you a little something of what.
So I would say those three teams are probably your three best defenses mm-hmm. in the league right now. Georgia won. Bama and LSU probably competing. Who's two,
Georgia,
who's three?
Georgia may not have as many starters returning defensively as those guys, but they have a lot of guys that have played and played well.
They have guys that were highly thought of out of high school.
Very, very big parts of national championships the last 2 years.
Who contributed very early in their college careers, even if they weren't starting. So, yeah, I think those are still the, you know, those are the... the teams at the top of the chart when you're looking at SEC defenses,
where Auburn would be. We've heard some of the players say, you know, they think Auburn can be a top three defense. Auburn right now needs to prove they're an upper half defense.
Yeah, because last year I don't think Auburn was was in the top half defensively in the conference.
No, they weren't.
I mean, they had to factor in the defense having to work hard because the offense was, you know, probably in the bottom three. Bottom four, you know, by the end of the season, right? I mean, scoring offense was that where Auburn was about in the league?
Yeah, they were. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now the talent that the depth that Coach Freeze and staff have brought in has really, really, you know, upped the expectations there defensively, and we've heard some good things. Now, something that was. How do you take this? Hugh Freeze talked about this after the scrimmage Saturday. He said he never feels good after a scrimmage because if one side does well, he wonders, is the other side any good? And early on, Coach Freeze said this himself, early on when they ran pace, the offense dominated. When they slowed it down, the defense dominated. Now, does that mean teams are going to have to slow it down for Auburn's defense to be playing very well, or is the Auburn offense – much, much better than anyone would expect it to be. That's what we're yet to really find out.
Well, I guess, how many more days before we find out?
Well, we're 17 days away from kickoff.
Cool. Okay.
And got another scrimmage coming this Saturday. It'll be interesting to hear, you know, hear the thoughts of the coaches. I believe it's Donors Weekend, so there'll be some people there who – probably won't mind talking a little bit about what they saw, too.
We got a soft opening, but we kind of run into, Texas A&M at a point?
Yeah, but yeah, you got A&M, Georgia, and LSU back-to-back-to-back. Fourth, fifth, and sixth
Hello.
Games.
That's right.
Fourth, fifth, and sixth games of the year. The games in A&M and LSU will be on the road. Georgia will most likely be riding a 20-game regular season, a 20-game overall win streak when they come to Auburn.
It'd be a surprise if they're not the number one team in the country.
Yeah,
when they come
I mean they've got South Carolina in week two at home, and that
right.
appears to be, you know, probably in the top half of the most competitive games Georgia has.
No question.
On their schedule. But yeah, I mean that's a tough 3 week. You know, I don't know how many people looking at the. Especially now that we have the rankings, like I don't know how many people draw a hey, here's three teams ranked in the preseason top 25, and you play them back to back to back in college football all season. I don't know how commonplace that is. Auburn's got one of those with A&M, Georgia, and LSU.
Okay, well, thanks, guys.
All right, Yellowhammer, appreciate the call.
I feel like LSU might be coming off the bye too, right? You're playing.
Oh, is that right?
I think I should check LSU's schedule before. I should have said that. I should have checked that and then said it. But I think that's right.
LSU usually tries to save that one for before they play Alabama.
Let me see what I can do on LSU's schedule.
I'll pull up. You know, that's something I need to save is the helmet schedule, because I always like to.
No, LSU's buys later. You're right.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So that one. I mean, not that that's going to make it a whole lot easier.
Oh, it is before Bama. You're right. Somebody else has
that's
a bye.
Almost
somebody
always.
Else has a bye before Auburn, but it's not LSU.
Yeah, almost always LSU's bye is before Alabama. So, yeah, I mean, it just is what it is. Auburn, you know, Auburn has its open date before LSU. That may be what you were thinking, right?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because Auburn plays those three in a row, but they're at A&M, Georgia at home, open date. Then at LSU.
Because it's in the middle of, four teams in the preseason top 25 in 5 weeks.
Right.
Because Auburn's got Ole Miss
the week next after. Week,
yeah,
after
there is a bye week in between. So it's A&M, Georgia, bye week, LSU, Ole Miss in the middle of Auburn's schedule.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're going to have to go, if you're going to have to play those four teams in a row, you want a break before you go to that second road trip.
I'm glad we corrected that, because that's the I knew somebody had a bye week
right
in there. It was Auburn.
Fortunately, it's Auburn.
Yeah, it's Auburn's got the bye week before they go to LSU.
Right. All right.
And that's you know what, after Georgia before LSU is a nice time.
Oh, no kidding.
That's a nice time for a bye week.
And also then, okay, now you can assess when you've gone after you've gone to A&M and you've hosted Georgia, you got a pretty good idea what you have. I mean, we will see. I mean, if Auburn's you know, I think most people would feel like Auburn's probably going to be 3-2. If Auburn's 2-3, if Auburn's better than 3-2, then it's like, wow, this has a chance to be something special. But I mean,
yeah, it would be just. I mean, 2-3 probably means you lost a Cal
most
right.
likely.
I mean,
yeah.
and that would be a disappointing start. You know, to the freeze.
But
era.
I mean, there are a lot of people nationally that aren't going to be shocked if that happens.
No, I don't think so. Although I think Cal's also. You know, I think folks were waiting to see what they have this season, especially with an SEC team.
Yeah, they're waiting to see where they're going to go next year.
Yeah, they're waiting to see what who's going to be on the schedule.
They're still sort of hanging, hoping that the ACC will let them in.
Yeah, or although
in the old McCartney song, someone's knocking at the door.
But okay, but the Cal and Stanford thing. If you're replacing teams that are leaving. And you got to go add in Cal and Stanford. Like, that's one.
Why does the ACC, why would they even entertain
because
bringing them in to, are they going to bring in that much more money that everyone will be able to make at least as much as they've been making? I don't see it.
No, because if they meant that much to a television network, the Pac-12 would still be
that's
a thing.
Right.
If Cal and Stanford.
If they were worth $30+ million right now. Then, okay, you could bring them in, but they're not.
Right. And giving them a share of the current ACC deal is only going to make Florida
State. That's going to run the other teams out.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I mean, Florida State.
Maybe that's what the ACC is trying to do.
I wonder.
They're trying to force the hand and hope that Florida State and maybe Clemson pay them more money.
So that they've got
money to pay the other teams.
Are they trying to add like sympathetic votes to like when the conference needs to vote on stuff, you add Cal and Stanford,
they'll vote for anything.
They'll vote for whatever, you know, whatever they need to do.
Yes, sir.
Because Florida State and Clemson, like that's, I mean, to me, like that's the next problem in college in the conference realignment. The next phase of this is what are the ACC football powers going to do about what seems to be at the moment an unsustainable deal for them? Maybe they, you know, maybe they stick it out as a conference.
Pac-4?
Yeah, no, the ACC schools. Maybe they all stick it out.
I thought you were talking about Cal and Stanford.
No, maybe the ACC schools stick it out as a conference. But it just seems like, I mean, Florida State's president earlier this month was very clear.
Find a way out.
Well, no, but what was I want to get the term right. He
wanted an exit strategy.
But unless there was a radical change
right.
to the way
and the distribution.
Yeah, unless there was a radical change to the way the ACC distributes the media rights deal, Florida State's going to want out. I mean, I think that if you radically change it to give Florida State a better deal, there's a couple other schools in the ACC that are going to say, "Hey, wait a minute.
Oh yeah.
Like why is Florida State getting that much more money than us and what we've meant?" So yeah, it just feels like a mess that doesn't. I mean, the cleanest exit would be the teams that really care about football are probably going to find another place to play. But Bill, didn't like ESPN signed a deal with the ACC thinking they would have those college football programs involved, and
yeah.
if the college,
it's not going to be worth that if Florida State.
If Florida State, Clemson, Miami, and Louisville decide like as a four team block, they need to go somewhere else. Suddenly, the ACC's
their value drops.
Yes,
through the
adding Cal and Stanford doesn't fix that. And so yeah, just seems like I speculated it Monday with Doug. Like I wonder how close we are to one conference with all the teams that really care about college football in it. Like how close we are to everyone making the places that care about football. How close are we to an SEC team or a Big Ten team talking like Florida State and saying, well, we shouldn't be getting an equal share as this program that doesn't do anything
in
football.
They're not quite as close as the ACC schools because they're getting a lot for being in that conference. Maybe they feel like they could get more. But there are no guarantees that they get a whole lot.
So the next round of renegotiations are when maybe like give it a couple years, and that's when the places that really care about football are going to start pointing fingers at the places that don't.
All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break, and we're right back with more of your phone calls. Stick with us for the final half hour of the Wednesday Drive.
1-1-3-9-0. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Wednesday edition. Back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Mitch is next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me all right?
We got you fine.
Hey, Mitch.
Okay. Hey, Dan. First off, because I don't know if I'll get the call tomorrow. You never know what's going to happen.
No, the future's not guaranteed. That's true.
But my uncle, a.k.a. Hero, birthday is tomorrow, so I'm going to wish him a happy birthday. But this is for you, Bill. Do you remember where you were today in 1977?
August 16th, 1977.
Was he watching the Beatles at Shea Stadium?
No, well, not in 77. The Beatles had been broken up for 7 years by then.
John was still alive at that point, though, right?
Yes, he was. He had 2.5, 3 years left. I was probably in South Alabama. I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, because today is the day that Elvis passed away.
Oh, I was, as a matter of fact, working at a radio station in South Alabama.
Bill, were you there? Were you there?
No, I wasn't there for when he passed. I was there at the radio station when it came across the teletype. Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you'd already finished school by then, hadn't you?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Not trying to give up your age or anything like that, but I mean, I know you remember a lot about the 70s, especially when it comes to Auburn.
Oh, yeah, I was definitely, well, I don't say that I was aware. I was around. yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, I mean,
there's a little bit of a haze.
Right, that's kind of like with me in the 80s and the early 90s. We had come from my grandparents' house out off on Wire Road and stopped at Mr. Friendly's Gulf Station, and we got the news, and it was, I asked Siri, it was on a Tuesday, but obviously it was during the summertime, and
mm-hmm.
back then, we didn't go back to school until after Labor Day, because, Auburn University didn't start till like what? 2 weeks after Labor Day?
Yeah, and it's funny. I was telling him, I was talking to my wife about that, and I said, you know, I remember when. Yeah, it was about a month from now when we started. It wasn't Labor Day. I mean, high schools, it seemed like, would start, city schools would start around Labor Day, and college would start, Auburn would start around the middle of September. We'd always play, right. Seems like we'd always play two or three games before classes got started.
Right, because, I mean, when I graduated in 1988, it was like the first week of June, and then, you know, but obviously I didn't go back to public school, but yeah, it was like we always went back to school after Labor Day, and then yeah, Auburn would play two or three games before the students actually were back into class. But moving on from reminiscing, I saw a little snippet. I didn't read anything. What is this thing about Michael Orr in the movie? And was Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss when he was there? I don't even know. I don't know the time frame.
Yeah, well, Hugh went to Ole Miss. He'd been
weeks after Michael Orr committed to Ole Miss.
He'd been Michael's high school coach. He went to Ole Miss. He had an off-field job at first, and then I believe was recruiting coordinator at Ole Miss.
Yeah. So back on Monday, Michael Orr filed a petition in a Tennessee court, trying to dissolve a conservatorship. And he says that shortly after turning 18, he signed a conservatorship with the Tuohy family, and it allowed. And I don't really know the specifics of it, but it allowed them to have some legal control over his life rights and other things, and he's trying to now end his conservatorship. He says he has no legal or familial relation to the Tuohy family, and I think the Tuohys are responding, trying to they want to settle this privately, and they've expressed disappointment publicly that it's come to this.
Yeah, and one of the things that Sean Tuohy said, Michael Orr was, I believe he repeated first and second grade, so he was already of legal age when he. While he was living with the Tuohys in his senior year, he was 18. I think he was 18 going into his senior year. And one of the things Sean Tuohy said was they couldn't legally adopt him because he was 18. But I mean, there's, yeah, right now what is out there is did he receive what he should have received for. For the rights of the movie.
So Michael, let me see here. So who's Sean Tuohy, right?
Yes.
Sean Tuohy has talked to the Daily Memphian.
Yes.
About this, he said that he's earned what he got some money. He got some money from Michael Lewis for the book. I guess they included Michael Orr in the shares of that one. And a story I had never heard. Sean Tuohy said. Part of the reason that they made their relationship with Michael official was because it jeopardized his eligibility in college football.
I remember the Tuohys saying that had he not been a part of their family, they would have been looked upon as violating NCAA rules.
Tuohy said that he told Michael Orr, quote, "If you're planning to go to Ole Miss or even considering Ole Miss, we think you need to be part of the family legally." Unquote, and they thought a conservatorship made enough. I don't know specifics about whether or not Michael Orr was taken advantage of, and whether or not, but it's he's in a courtroom trying to sever ties with the Tuohys.
Okay, and I mean, what do the Tuohys do? I mean, are they like Walmart or Target or FedEx?
I know that the Tuohys owned. Hundreds of restaurants in Mississippi and the Memphis area, northern Mississippi. Well, I believe all across the Southeast. So they have been wealthy for quite a while.
Okay, now is Michael Orr still in the NFL?
No, I believe 16 was his last year in the NFL. Said that you know, he's just realized recently in the recent past that he felt he hadn't gotten what he deserved and was tricked by the TUIs.
He's now 37 years old.
Oh, okay. Like I said, I couldn't remember the time frame of when he was actually at Ole Miss and everything. So, okay. Okay. Well, I mean, 37, you can still be in the NFL.
I think the news is largely because it turned out that it was a conservatorship and not an adoption.
Right.
Which, you know, it does seem like some of the details presented in the book and the movie are detached from what actually happened. Michael Orr, you know, we'll see where the lawsuit goes.
All right, guys, thanks. Take a call, War Eagle. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Mitch, appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. And let's get to James before we have to get to our final break. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. So I got a quick question for you. Do you know, since we were talking about the TUIs, do you know who took Michael Orr here? Or, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, to the strip club on a recruiting visit.
No, I do not.
That was Mike Price at University of Alabama.
Oh, I had not heard that story.
Got Mike Price in trouble.
I think Mike Price got in trouble. I don't know that was necessarily a recruit.
Hold on a second.
Destiny was the recruit. I think Destiny was the recruit at the club with Mike.
Yeah, Mike Price was down in Pensacola.
Yeah,
at a golf event of some kind, and
that's when he met. That's when he met his Destiny.
I don't think we need to drag Michael Orr into any of this.
Oh. I'm messing with you, Dan. I wanted to mess with you a little bit. So.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I do remember that one.
Not mix our stories.
I remember, you know, Mitch was asking if I remembered where I was, and I said, I'm sorry that I didn't remember that date. But, yeah, I was on the air at a radio station in South Alabama in Escambia County when the teletype started dinging that Elvis Presley
had been found, like with Elvis's passing and Bill not being there. He also was not there in Pensacola.
I was closer to that than I was to Elvis.
You want
to
be clear?
I was going to say I was within 40 minutes of that,
I do know that story is true, that he was taken to a strip club, but I don't. It was one of the SEC schools, but I don't know which one it was. So I was just messing with y'all about that. But I've been told it was University of Alabama, but I don't know if that's true or not. So it's just a good joke.
Well, who knows? That may come out in the trial.
It could be. The other thing I was going to tell y'all too, and I know that I'm going to probably come off a little crazy sounding when I say this, but I didn't know what our record would be in football this year at Auburn without Darquez Hunter. But to me, and I know everybody's going to tell me pump the brakes, but to me with Darquez, I see us being 9-3, 10-2, somewhere in there. And that's where I see it at.
So. Here's what I would say. Without knowing anything about how the season will actually play out, if you wanted to wager right now on Auburn's games, I would say there are probably 6 games right now where if you wanted to wager money, Auburn would be the underdog. I would say you got Georgia at A&M, Georgia at home, at LSU. I would think Ole Miss at Auburn, with Ole Miss being in the top 25 right now, Ole Miss would be favored in that game in the eyes of most people.
Which is a little, I mean.
Just because they're ranked in Auburn.
I know, but look at last year. Look at the difference in the two teams from last year to this year. I would say Auburn should be the underdog. I mean, they're going to be the underdog in about half the games. There are only 3 teams that I feel like are more talented, period, than Auburn. That's the 3 we talked about a while ago. Georgia, Alabama, and LSU.
There are places where, you know, there are
other
positions
teams,
where
think,
teams can probably,
right.
You know,
oh, absolutely.
But other teams,
I don't think Auburn is that inferior, if at all, to the other teams talent-wise. Yep. So, you know, things would really have to break and go well, James. But it's not beyond the realm of possibility that you know, Auburn could win eight or more games. Auburn, no, not at all.
Auburn beating A&M would not be a monumental upset when Auburn beat them last year and has won.
And has a history of playing well out there.
Auburn beating Ole Miss, I don't think, would be a terribly shocking development. Auburn's at home. Auburn's beaten. Right. I mean, how many we looked it up. Ole Miss has won three times ever at Jordan-Hare.
That's right.
I think that's right. And then Auburn beating Arkansas, when you look at the record historically, you know, those in what last 10, last 20, like that's another one where, yeah, you'd think, and Auburn, you know, on paper maybe has more talent than Arkansas
But losing to those teams wouldn't be a shock either.
Exactly. So I mean, yeah, I think there are swing games on the schedule, you know, multiple ones that could be the difference between 6-6 and 9-3. And I'm sure people would point out, you know, if Auburn's 9-2 when the Iron Bowl kicks off, and the game's at Jordan-Hare, that's, you know, Bill.
Nick Saban has never beaten a 9-win Auburn team. That's a fact.
I don't know what time the Georgia game is, and I don't know if it'll get changed in between now and then. But if that game changes from any time to a night game, we've got a chance to beat Georgia at home, if that's the case. Because the fans will be into it by that point. And there won't be no stopping Auburn at that point.
Yeah, Auburn comes back from A&M unbeaten. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. The fans are going to be going crazy.
I have a feeling that game's. I mean, it would take some unusual things for that not to be the 2:30 game that day. Looking at the matchups, knowing CBS has a 2:30 game to choose. You know, I would think that's probably going to be the one. But you're right. That's the we were talking about it earlier in the off season. There will be an 8:15 central kickoff in the SEC that night somewhere in the league, and it could be Auburn, Georgia. It could be could be one of the other games in the conference.
Well, I'm praying for it to be the Auburn, Georgia game.
I hear you.
Appreciate it, James. I'll see you later.
Yep. War Eagle. All right, we've got to get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind it down here on the Wednesday Drive.
Get set. The inaugural Ride and Seek Bike Safety Adventure is here. Join us on Saturday, August 26th at Chewakla State Park.